All right, so probably that has never happened to you, I hope. But more so, I hope that you've never done that to anyone else. We began a message series last week, just a June series, looking at this idea of evangelism. Looking at what God has called you and I to do. What actually God has called every believer to do, to go and to tell. He has laid the responsibility on us. That if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if we have a relationship with Jesus, he has instructed us, he has told us we are supposed to go and tell. Like that? No. Because that's not really going to draw people under Jesus, is it? And most likely it's going to kind of repel people away from Jesus, comes off a little strong, clearly doesn't have a relationship established with anybody that he's talking to. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at part two in this series, Go and Tell, because what I'm hoping to do is lift high this notion of evangelism about what it means to share our faith. Because you see, we are supposed to pattern our lives after who? Jesus, right? Can you say Jesus? Hey, I just want to make sure that you are all awake and going this morning. So we are supposed to pattern our life after Jesus. And why did Jesus come in the first place? What was the mission, the vision, the purpose? Why did Jesus come? Well, he told us. He told us in the Gospel of Luke, look what it says. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's why he came, to seek and to save those who are lost. And what we know biblically is anybody who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, anybody who has not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior is technically what we would call lost. They are apart from Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. They are apart from Jesus. And the heart of God is that all people would have a relationship with Jesus. And so just as Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, he says, okay, I have a job for you to do as well. You are to partner with me to seek and to save the lost. That's why we're here. I received a message from a parent this last week, and one of the things that he said in there, which was really, it spoke to me, and I think it just really underscored why this series is so important for us. And he said, you know, he doesn't think that it's so much that it's difficult for us to talk about what we believe, because we can talk about that, but it's why do we believe, and specifically kind of for this earlier next generation to lift up this notion of why is it that we believe? Because why do we believe what we believe? Why do we believe that people should have a relationship with Jesus? Why do we believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life and that no one comes to the Father except through him? Why do we believe that we need to have a relationship with God? Well, we began to address that last week. We looked at the idea that we have this, there's this great dilemma that the Apostle Paul has posed. In the 10th chapter of Romans, Paul asks some questions. They're actually rhetorical questions that we already know the answer to. Because he asks the question, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Now look at those verses. Four times, as we talked about last week, four times Paul says, how? How are they going to know? How are they going to know? How will they come to a salvation? How will they come to a knowledge of him? How will they believe him? How will they hear about him? Unless we go tell them. And as I shared with you last week, two simple pieces of information. They can't. And they won't. They can't know about him. And they won't know about him unless someone, us, goes and tells, shares our faith, evangelizes. Because the question, the burning question that every single one of us, I believe, has to ask ourselves, this burning, deep question, this idea that we need to come to terms with is this idea of, does it really matter to me if the people around me are saved? Now, that might seem like a simple question, and it actually is a simple question, but it's actually pretty deep and pretty profound. Because it's asking you to look around at the people in your circle of relationships, peers, colleagues, neighbors, friends, whoever it might be, does it matter to you whether or not they're saved? Really? Like, does it matter to you whether the people around you, if their trajectory is heaven or hell? Because there's only two possibilities. Scripture is abundantly and perfectly clear on this. When we close our eyes on this existence and open our eyes in the next, it is going to be either an existence eternally with God, or it's going to be an existence eternally. Eternally. That means forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever without God. Does that matter to us? And the plea of my heart is that it really does. That it really does. That as we talked about last week, that we would begin to see people as God sees them. That we would begin to love people and live in relationships with people the way that God did. That Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost, that his mission, his purpose, his one thing would be our one thing. That we too would live to seek and to save the lost. And so we have this mandate. We have this mandate to evangelize, this mandate to communicate the gospel. That's what evangelism is. It's communicating the gospel. It's telling someone else about Jesus. It's not just acting like a Christian. It is telling and living like a Christian. It's having those things in sync, because they won't know unless we tell them. We can show people all day long. And don't get me wrong, the showing has to be there. Because we can't say one thing and do another thing, because we would call that hypocrisy. We've got to bring those two things into sync. But unless we communicate it, unless we tell them, they won't know. They won't know. And so evangelism, this mandate of sharing the gospel, is communicating the gospel. And the essence of evangelism is the message. Evangelism is all about Jesus. He came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. And why did he do that? So that we could be made right with God. So that our sin could be atoned for. So that we could stand before God forgiven, made right. And so the message that we share is this message that we call the good news. That in Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin. We are made right with God. And that's what we communicate with others. And this mandate for evangelism is the idea that all Christians are called and sent. You and me and everyone else, whether you have the spiritual gift of evangelism or it's just part of our collective call and being sent as followers of Jesus, we are called and sent by God to tell others about Jesus. Because if we don't, then we in essence are saying, you do not matter to me. And what we know in Scripture is all people matter to God. And if people matter to God, they should matter to us. And so we have this mandate to communicate the gospel, to share the message of Jesus, and to recognize that we are called and sent. So we evangelize because, number one, we are commanded to. This is not a divine suggestion. This is a divine command. It's an imperative. It's something that God says, you who believe, go. As you are living in the world, go. We are to go into all the world, wherever we find ourselves, in our homes, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our social settings, in our workplaces, in our clubs, in our affiliations, in our relationships. While we are in those, we are supposed to preach the good news of Jesus. So we evangelize, we share our faith in Christ because we're commanded to and because we're compelled to. There should be something in us. There should be something that as we grow in our relationship with Jesus that just literally wells up, that just begins to take hold of us. That as we begin to fall deeper in love with Jesus, we fall deeper in love with God's people, who is everyone. And that as we begin to see them, and especially as we see those people who are apart from a relationship with Jesus, our hearts should be breaking. Now, some of you might say, but how do we know? How do we know if they have a relationship with Jesus? We ask. We observe. We seek to know. So we should begin to see people as God sees them. The Apostle Paul said that we feel compelled, and he says, preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. Again, as we talked about last week, this how terrible for me, not that God's going to smite him, but it's more that sense of how terrible for me that I am not fulfilling my purpose as a follower of Jesus. I am not doing my part as his ambassador. I am just not seeing the people around me the way that God sees them. And so our desire should be that all people should come into a relationship with Christ. Now, as I talked about last week, this series that I'm doing, I want this to be just really super practical. The how-to. Now, there's no one magical formula. There's lots of different ways that we share our faith. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. But today, what I want to do for you is I want to lay out what I would just call like a simple steps way towards evangelism. Now, this method was kind of designed and packaged several years ago by Willow Creek. It's been repackaged in different ways. Big church up in Chicago. And I love the model. But again, it's not one model fits all. But I like the idea that this presents. Because this simple three-step evangelism is not a progressive set of steps, but it's a consecutive set of steps. It's something that we kind of do all these at once. But before we begin to break those down, I want to show you what might happen if we would begin to live a life of evangelism that didn't come across forced and come across obnoxious, really, as the guy in the video did, right? Like, was anybody watching that going, man, I want to talk to him? You know, most of us are going like, oh, I hope he does not, I'm not going to look at him. No, please don't come and talk to me. Please don't come and talk. But what would it look like if we saw that we had the ability to enter into relationships with people in this authentic sort of way that might actually draw people to Christ because we're meeting them where they are and we're seeking to be in relationship with them? Again, what we're going to talk about in just a few moments. So now what I want to show you is instead of that first video of how obnoxious faith sharing can be, I want to show you how amazingly authentic and real and simple it can be.
Oh, there's a spot. Oh, wait. Hey, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead and get it. Actually, go ahead. So what do you normally get here?
Oh, man, I love the macchiatos.
Hey, I like macchiatos, too. I come to this coffee shop because it's actually right down the street from where I work, really easy. You know, I work at this church, and so, yeah, it's really easy to come down here, take a little break, you know, get some coffee.
Jason got your drink?
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So is there anything I can be praying for you about? Dude, Caleb, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in a while. Dude. Hey, mind if I take a seat?
Sure.
I mean, so basically the thing that I've noticed in now that I've become a Christian is that before I knew Jesus, I was the type of guy that I wanted to be filled. I was going after pleasure of all different sorts. And did I invite you to come back to church? You know, I haven't seen you in a while, and I think you should come back out. Like, do you happen to go to church at all?
You know, off and on.
That's cool. Hey, dude, I invite you out to this church. It's an amazing church. Actually, here's the invite for it. Hey, dude. So I got a quick question for you. Sorry to interrupt you, but I was kind of even thinking about this today. What do you think is the meaning of life?
I don't know.
My brother's in jail.
I'll definitely be praying for you. I'm in here a lot, and so, dude, I'll be keeping that in prayer. By the way, I'm Jason. What was your name?
Cameron.
Okay, pleasure to meet you. God bless you. Knowing that your sin is forgiven, and so it just comes back down to knowing that Jesus died for you because he loves you. I always carry him on me just in case. There you go. So right down the street, easy to understand. I mean, essentially, it's just about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and so just invite you out to it.
You drive a Volkswagen, right?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Did you catch that last line? You drive a Volkswagen, don't you? Because what happened at the beginning? Let him in. And this whole conversational style that he had was what we'd refer to as letting people in, of building bridges, of finding ways to develop relationships with people so that we might have the hope of bringing them to Christ. And so when we think about what might be some really simple steps, really simple practical steps about how we might be evangelistic, about how we might share our faith, I want to lay these steps out for you. And again, my hope is that you will see these as being, these are actually pretty simple things that we could do, every single one of us. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have the whole Bible memorized. But what you do have to do is you have to have this relationship with Christ that actually sees people the way God sees them. And this desire to buy into Jesus' mission to seek and to save the lost so that it might be yours as well. Again, why? And you keep coming to back to the why. Because it makes a difference. Because lost people matter to God, and so they really should matter to us. And so again, this steps towards evangelism is not a progressive that we do number one, and then we do number two, and then we do number three. So it's not progressive, but it's actually consecutive. We do them all at the same time. I just numbered them because it's easier to say number one, two, and three. But it's this idea, this integrated thing. It's almost like three circles that are like overlaying each other of how we can develop this very simple way to evangelize or to share our faith. And so the first one is that we develop relationships with people far from God. Did you notice the difference in how Jason related to the people that he encountered with the second time versus the first time? Clearly, he had established some relationships with people. Hey, Caleb, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. How did he treat the barista? He's having conversation with him and say, hey, my name's Jason, what's your name? In other words, he sought to develop relationships with people. He said, hey, I come in here, it's close to my church, I come in here all the time. So in other words, what he was doing is seeking to find this place that he could just develop relationship with people, that he could just be in conversation with people, that he could see people the way that God sees them. And that's the first part of what it means to share our faith with others, is that we've just got to develop relationships with people who are far from God, because the scare tactics, they actually don't really work very well. Or if we try to beat somebody over the head with what we believe, that doesn't really work very well. We love people into a relationship with Jesus. We love them into a relationship with Jesus. In Isaiah 6:8, our prophet said, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. That Isaiah was a prophet that when God called him and said, hey, I want you to be my prophet to go to the world and tell the world about me, Isaiah was one that said, hey, sign me up. I want to get on with what you're doing. So I want to be a part of your plan, God. And then it says a little bit later, both in Isaiah 52 as well as Romans, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that God reigns. It's beautiful. Scripture calls what we do when we develop relationships with people with the goal of bringing them to a relationship with Jesus, Scripture calls that beautiful. That it's a beautiful thing that we have the opportunity to partner with God to literally change our world. To change our world. That God's reign and God's rule would come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what happens when more and more people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and give their life over to God. So the first step, we've just got to develop relationships with people. We've got to go where the people are. We've got to be in relationship with people. We've got to be authentic. We've got to be real. We've just got to see people. Now, I know you're like me. We get so busy, and sometimes the last thing we feel like we want to do is have a conversation with people. We want to get into the store and get out. We want to go do what we want to do, and we want to get away. But how often, how many people, I wonder, are around us who are just waiting for someone to be in a relationship with them that they might learn about Jesus? If the studies are true, and we believe they are, only about 17% of our population even goes to church on Sunday. 17%. That means like one out of five, right? One out of five people around us goes to church and probably has any kind of a relationship with God whatsoever. Scripture was clear. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What would happen if we get more workers out into the field? We get more workers out into the field by developing relationships with people, by finding time, finding space, finding opportunities to develop relationships with people who we know are far from God, investing our life in the life of somebody else, sharing our story, sharing God's story. It really is quite simple. So step one, we develop relationships with people who are far from God. Step two, we discover their stories to see where God is already at work in their lives. See, what we believe as followers of Jesus is that God is already at work in the lives of all people, whether or not they acknowledge it or not. That our God is always at work seeking to draw people unto himself. And so when we develop relationships with people, and when we get into those relationships and we begin to discover their stories, to hear who they are, where they've come from, to get to know them a little bit better, we find these opportunities to speak truth into their lives, to tell them about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9:22 and 23 says, the Apostle Paul, he says, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. Do you see that repeated word in there? Everyone, everything, and everything. That the Apostle Paul saw his ministry, his calling by God, his being sent by God to bring everyone he can come into contact with into a saving knowledge of Jesus. And he says, I'm going to do everything. Now, clearly, everything doesn't mean everything, including sin. But he's going to do everything he can, use everything at his disposal, using all the gifts and talents and graces and abilities and likes and interests and hobbies and all that kind of stuff. He's going to use that as an opportunity to share the gospel with people, to develop relationships and to discover the stories. And that means two things got to happen. We got to go and we got to listen. In other words, we got to meet people on their turf, right? We got to go to where they are because, you know, chances are we're not going to fill up the seats. I threw this challenge out there last week, and probably summer's a bad time to do that because we got a lot of people who go on vacation during the summer. But we've got to go to where they are so that we can bring them here. And that's what every church has to do. We got to go and we got to listen so we can draw them in, so we can bring them in, so we can talk about this relationship that we have with Jesus. And so we have to discover their stories. We got to figure out, like, where's God already at work in your life? See, because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is working in every single person's life. I believe that as the early church fathers have told us, that God creates this God-shaped vacuum inside of us that will never be filled until it is filled with the presence of God. And that means that we are always going to be yearning for and looking for and searching for something. And we're going to try to find lots of things to try to fill that hole. Money, possessions, degrees, houses, cars, relationships, stuff. We're going to try all this stuff to fill this up. And the reality is that that hole will never be filled. We will never find this sense of contentment and completeness until that contentness and that completeness is there by the presence of God. And so we've got to discover the stories of people. We got to go to where they are. And we've got to listen to their stories so that we might be able to figure out, okay, here's my story, there's your story, there's God's story. Hey, how might all these be intersecting? So that, again, we might help bring you to faith in Jesus. So step one, we develop relationships with people. Step two, we discover their stories to see where God is already at work. And again, this is not a progressive, you got to do one, then you got to do two, then you got to do three. This is a sense that we are weaving in and out of this idea to help share the gospel, because the third, and the continual thing that we are doing in the midst of all this, while we are developing relationships, while we are discovering the stories, we want to discern the next steps. That literally inside we're going, okay, God, what do I do next? Okay, God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? That while we're having conversation with people, while we're listening to their stories, we're saying, God, what can I use here? What can I use here? What should I do next? What should I say next? Where should we go next? What can I use here to help draw people into you? So we've got to discern the next step. And the good news is that as believers in Jesus, we don't do that by ourselves. That we have the very presence of God in us, working in us, giving us what we need to find those relational, connectional points. And that person that's doing that is the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. So again, let's get practical. If you're working with somebody and you've begun to develop a relationship with somebody that you work with and you're beginning to hear their story, that one of the things that you could be doing the whole time is praying and asking God, hey, God, what next? God, what do I say next? How do I live next? What do I share next? What can I do, God, to have this encounter with this person so that they might come to know you? So we're praying all the time, practical. Pray without ceasing, the Apostle Paul says that we should do. That means that we're just always saying, God, what's next? What's next? What's next? I can't tell you, when I'm in relationships with people and I'm having conversations with people, whether I'm counseling somebody or whether I'm having conversation with people or if I'm just meeting people, I'm trying all the time, and sometimes I fall so short of this because I get busy and I'm like, I just want to go from here to there and get back. I don't want to talk. But I'm more and more saying, hey, God, let me be attentive. Let me just be attentive so that I might discern what it is that you want me to do. Because maybe I'm the guy that you want to use right now, right here, for this person to maybe learn about you. And so I'm praying all the time, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, just guide me. Give me the words to say. Tell me what to do. Where do we go? And so when we begin to break that down, what does that look like? Just real quickly again, what we do is we've got to start where people are. We got to start where people are. We've got to meet them on their turf. We got to get to know them. So we start where people are, not where we want them to be, right? That means that we've got to sometimes live in this tension of when you heard in that video, they might be living this life that's kind of really at odds with the gospel. Well, if we come in right away and say, well, you're probably not a believer because you got this and you got this, that's not really going to connect with people, right? We've got to meet them where they are and believe that God's already at work in their lives. And we've got to focus on the other person's interests. In other words, we ask lots of questions. It's finding those spaces to just be quiet and listen. Hey, tell me more about. Hey, how is? Hey, what's going on with? What's your job like? That we're finding these places where we understand and we get to know what interests somebody else so that they might come to believe that we really are interested in them. And so we've got to listen. We've got to go. We've got to listen. And we've got to learn about their interests because we want to seek to build a common ground. We want to find these places to build bridges, to have this common ground, so that when we say, hey, I go to this church right down the street here. Would you like to come sometime? We've developed a relationship with somebody, and they've seen, maybe we got something. So I got to share with you one of our faith pointers this morning. She specifically shared with me. She said, hey, George, I want to tell you a story. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And she said, so my mom has decided to go to this other church. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And she said, because there's a community of folks there that she has kind of gotten to know. And she said to her daughter, she said, so I'm wondering, when you first came back home, you were like a mess. Parents can be so truthful, right? You were a mess, but something's changed. What is it? And she said, let me answer it in a very simple way. She said, community, community, community. In other words, finding a place to belong. I would say to fit into what our mission statement is, finding a place to belong, to believe, and to become all that God created you to be. And see, that's what happens even at such a close place as a mother-daughter relationship. And it can happen between colleagues, between friends, between neighbors. It can happen to the barista who waits on you every time that you stop and get a double mocha, triple something, whatever, on the way to work every day so you can make it to work. That we develop relationships with people. We try to find common ground with them so that we might point them towards Jesus. And it's so important. You saw the difference between first video and second video. Is that we really seek to do is to expose our faith, not to impose it. In other words, we want to share our faith with people. We seek to expose our faith, not impose it on them. We don't beat somebody over the head with the gospel, but we want to expose our faith to them so that they might say, hey, there is something you have that I don't have, and I want to discover what that relationship, I want to discover what that really is all about. And so we seek to just share authentically and simply who we are. Maybe who we were and who we are today. Maybe the place that we go to church. Maybe the community that we've been a part of. Maybe the changes that have happened in our life because of our relationship with Christ. Maybe the community that we have found that has loved and supported and nurtured us. And so, see, this idea of discerning the next step is always saying, okay, help me to see people the way you see them, God. Help me to be in this relationship with this person the way that you would want me to be in this relationship. Help me always to begin with where they are. Help me to focus on what their interest is. God, help me to find this common ground so that I might create a bridge with the opportunity to share faith. Help me to expose my faith and impose it instead of imposing it. And so we develop relationships with people who are far from God. We discover their stories to see where God is already at work in their lives. We discern the next steps, and we always have a goal in mind. Our goal should be the same goal that Jesus had. Our goal is to bring people to faith in Jesus. So evangelism, sharing our faith because we're commanded and we're commended to, compelled to, is that we do this. We develop these relationships. We discover their stories. We discern the next steps because we've got a goal in mind. We should have a common goal in mind, that the world would come to know Christ. Because when God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the world changes. It's not just the eternal trajectory of people that changes. The world in which we live right now, right here today, changes. And it doesn't take much to watch the news and see how quickly we discern and discover the world needs to change. Because there's just a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of evil that's happening in our world today. There's a lot of places that literally should move us to tears and to move us to this place of saying, something's got to be done. You ever find yourself saying something like that? You're reading it on Facebook, you're seeing it on Twitter, you're watching it on YouTube. Man, something has to be done. Here's what I hope happens is that this back voice in your head that I believe is the Holy Spirit, that what I hope really happens is whenever we find ourselves saying, man, something should be done, we should hear the voice of God saying, well, get at it. Well, get at it. Because if we always wait for somebody else, how quickly is it going to get done? Not very quickly, right? If we're always saying, well, gosh, if somebody would, well, then what if somebody doesn't? So God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives. The term Christian in the first century literally meant little Christs. That's what we're to be. The mission of God was to come to seek and to save the lost. It should be our mission. We should be a people who don't look at evangelism and say, oh, that's like so weird. I could never do that. Or, oh, hey, you know, Todd, he's way better at that than I am. Or, no, you know, like Susie, man, they, like, she's really good at that. If I have any questions, I'm just going to send them over to talk to her. No. It should be, how has God wired me? How has my relationship with Jesus changed and grown and been transformed so that I might be the one who gets to develop the relationship with this person, to discover their story, to discern the next steps, and then literally take their hand and put it in the hand of Jesus. And then to hear God say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done.